morning. Thank you for coming. We're learning Masechet Beitzah. We are on the second to last line on Beis and Beis. The Mishnah said, Beitzah shenolda biyom tov, an egg born on Yom Tov. Beis Shammai are lenient. They say you can eat the egg on Yom Tov. Beis Hillel are strict. That's the halacha. And you may not eat the egg on Yom Tov. So the Gemara wanted to understand what's the issue here. Why do Beit Shammai hold you can eat the egg on Yom Tov? And why do Beis Hillel hold you can't eat the egg on Yom Tov? So we saw two explanations so far in the Gemara. The first explanation the Gemara proposed, this really goes to the issues of Muktza. We know that throughout Masechet Shabbos, we had an argument between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Yehuda is strict on Muktza issues, and Rabbi Shimon is more lenient. Classical case, a guy lights a lamp, he lights a nair. So now as Shabbos is beginning, during Ben Hashmashos, is Katzoy, you know, it's out of his mind. He's not planning to take any oil out of that lamp because the oil, taking oil out of the lamp would be putting out the flame. You're not allowed to put out flames on Shabbos, so it's put out of mind. I'm not going to use this oil. But now the whole reason why he's not going to use that oil is because of the flame, because taking out oil is reducing the flame. But now if the flame goes out because the wind comes, can he now take some of the oil? Rabbi Shimon says he could, and Rabbi Yehuda says he can't. Rabbi Shimon says he could because apparently Rabbi Shimon holds that a person in the back of his mind is thinking, okay, I can't use it, but maybe if X, Y, and Z will happen, I will be able to use it. So it's not really out of his mind. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, if he knows he can't use it, it was out of his mind. And once it was out of his mind at the beginning of Shabbos, so you have the rabbinic decree of Muktza, what was out of mind, you can't use throughout the whole Shabbos, even though now you want to use it. So the Gemara's initial proposal is here, an egg that's born on Yom Tov. Is that issue? We're talking about a chicken which is not in mind. A person's not thinking, I'm going to use this chicken, because it's not a chicken that he's going to eat. It's a chicken that's supposed to be making eggs. It's the chicken, legadol beitzim. Targolus omedes legadol beitzim. A chicken that's put aside to create eggs. So he's not planning to eat the chicken on Yom Tov. The chicken is muktza. And now we have an egg born, which is even more reason to be muktza. It comes from something which is muktza. And how could he have in mind this egg, because it didn't exist here? And this Yom Tov started, it didn't exist. So it was nolad. So Beis Hillel, they hold like Rabbi Yehuda in regards to Muktzah of Yom Tov. On Yom Tov, they hold of Rabbi Yehuda. And since they hold of Rabbi Yehuda, they say the chicken would be Muktzah, the egg is certainly Muktzah, it's nolad. And therefore, they say you can't eat the egg. And Beis Shammai holds like Rabbi Shimon. Beis Shammai holds that we're more lenient in regards to Muktzah. The chicken itself, you could have even used. And the egg that comes to the chicken also, you can use. If you don't hold of Muktzah, you don't hold of nolad. So the Gemara quoted a challenge on that, which is, this is Rav Nachman's explanation. The Gemara said, if the argument is about Muktza and about Nolad, let the Mishnah say both things. Let the Mishnah say, if a guy wants to eat the chicken, and he wants to eat the egg. And Beis Shammai say he can eat the chicken, and he can eat the egg. And Beis Hillel will be saying, no, he can't eat the chicken, and he can't eat the egg. Why did it only talk about the egg? Well, it should have spoken about both things, as the Gemara said. So therefore, the Gemara says that another answer, the answer of Rabbah says that really we're talking about a chicken which is not muktzah. Chicken where you're planning to eat it, it itself is not muktzah. The problem here is we're dealing with a Yom Tov which is on a Sunday. Yom Tov right after Shabbos. And so an egg born on Yom Tov means that it was finished on Shabbos. And since the Torah says about Shabbos and Yom Tov, Echinu es asher yaviyu, they are to prepare from before, prepare on the weekday for Shabbos and Yom Tov. Here, this is prepared by God on Shabbos for Yom Tov, that's why it's prohibited. And because a Yom Tov on a Sunday, an egg born in it would be prohibited, and already the rabbis got involved, they said it's going to be confusing if Yom Tov's on Tuesday, they'll allow people to eat the eggs born on Tuesday. Therefore, whenever Yom Tov is, whenever an egg is born on Yom Tov, it is prohibited. So Mar says, that really true, but don't we know that if a guy shechts a chicken on Yom Tov and he finds eggs inside, he's allowed to eat it? Why is he allowed to eat it? We should say, don't eat the eggs, because if you eat the eggs that are inside the chicken, you might start eating eggs that are born on a Sunday Yom Tov when they were prepared on Shabbos. Mar says, these are unusual things. It's unusual to find eggs inside of a chicken. That's what we had gotten up to. So far, two explanations for Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Either they argue with the argument of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, the argument about being strict about muktzah questions or lenient on muktzah questions, and muktzah and nolad go together. That's explanation number one. Or we have explanation number two. They're arguing about the question of hachana. Is there in fact a problem to prepare to use on Yom Tov something that Hashem prepared for you on Shabbos, the day before Yom Tov? Or maybe Yom Tov, you can only use those things that Hashem made on a weekday, not the things that Hashem made on a Shabbos. Okay, yeah, question.
We know that the Tzoran brings something, a
Right. If we shecht a cow and you have an animal inside.
Right. What's betocha? Here, the eggs betocha too.
Right.
Why we don't know if I can shecht the ima? I should have...
Okay, so that's a very nice point, right? You could shecht the chicken. The chicken is omed l'achila. And were you to shecht the chicken, you'd say, well, you know, then you'd still... You'd have the egg inside, but still, God is being mechin it. God completes it from being, it becomes an egg on Shabbat, the day before the Yom Tov. And what's muchan b'Shabbat, what is prepared on Shabbat, that's not right. For Yom Tov, you prepare on the weekday for Yom Tov. You don't prepare on Shabbat for the Yom Tov, and that's why it's not correct. However, Rabbi Yosef said, now a third explanation. Why do Beis Hillel say you can't eat the egg born on Yom Tov? Gzeira, it's a decree. Mishum peiros hanoshim, because of fruit that falls off of a tree. There is a decree not to eat the fruit that falls off of a tree. It's mukta, but even worse, it's part of the problems that we're worried a person will be kotzer. We're worried that a person might detach things from where they're growing. So therefore, don't even eat the fruit that fell off of the tree, because if you eat one apple, you might want to eat a second apple, and now the second one, you'll climb up the tree and you'll pick it. So, we know you're not allowed to eat fruits that fall off of the tree. There's a rabbinic decree not to eat the fruits that fall off of a tree. So an egg coming out of a chicken is a fruit that comes out of a tree. So if you eat an egg that came out of a chicken on Yom Tov, you're going to be eating fruits that come off of trees on Yom Tov. That's already a big problem. Right. Well, we'll see in a second. The Gemara is going to struggle with these issues. Amarle, Abaye said to his teacher of Yosef, "Hey, Rosanoshim, time am I? What's the problem with eating fruits that fell off of the tree? Now, starting today's daf, Yom Lamed Aleph, Zera. Sages said, don't eat the fruits that fall off of the tree because of a decree, Shema Yaleth, that a person might climb the tree, the Yitlosh, and he might pick the fruit." So because of the decree that he might climb the tree and pick the fruit, that's why they said, don't eat the fruit that falls off of a tree. Because if you eat the fruit that falls off a tree, it might lead him to picking fruit off of trees. So therefore, we have a problem. He grew for Gzeira. This is just a decree. Don't eat the fruit that fell off of a tree, because you might pick fruit. So we're going to get up. The Nigzer Gzeira, Ligzeira, are we going to make a decree upon a decree? The decree was... Don't eat the fruit that fell off of a tree, because you might pick the fruit. So now, and also don't even eat an egg that comes out of a chicken, because that might lead you to eat the fruit that falls off a tree. And then you might actually go pick a fruit from the tree. I mean, this is many steps removed. We don't make decrees upon decrees. Answer the Gemara, this is different. Kula chada gzeirei. This is all one decree. It's not that don't eat the egg that came out of the chicken, because that might lead you to eat the fruit that falls off of the tree. When they said, we don't want you to eat the fruit that falls off a tree, because then you might pick the fruit from the tree, they were saying, don't eat anything that comes from a source. Don't eat the eggs that come from a chicken. Don't eat a baby lamb that would be born on Yom Tov from a mother, because it's all part of it. It was one decree. Because we're worried in certain cases of things that come from a source, but that might lead you to pick from the source. They said, don't eat that which comes from the source on Shabbos and Yom Tov. So therefore, it's all part of one decree. That's Rav Yosef's answer. Rav Yitzchak has a fourth explanation for the Mishnah. Rav Yitzchak Amar, the reasoning of Beis Hillel, that they prohibit an egg born on Yom Tov, is gzeir, it's part of a decree, mishum mashkin shazavu, liquids that seep out of a fruit. We're going to learn, we learned back in Masechet Shabbos, that you're not allowed to squeeze fruits. That's one of the malachos. One of the 39 malachos was dash. They had to, in preparing the preparing the dyes with which to dye the ram skins, the Orus Elim Adamim. They had to grow the samamanim, they had to grow the stalks of dye, and then they had to cut the stalks, and dash, they had to have animals step on the stalk to separate the kernels, the seeds, from the stalk in which it's growing. So therefore, if you take wheat, and you have animals, or you put pressure on the wheat to separate the kernels and the chaff around them, that is the malach of dash. Part of the malach of dash would also be to take certain fruits, let's say grapes or olives, which are primarily for their juice, and to squeeze their juice out. If the juice was inside the fruit, you're squeezing it out, that's the malach of dash. So because of that biblical malacha of sochet, it said any mashkin shazav, any liquid that seeps out of a fruit, don't drink the liquid, as it might lead a person to squeezing the fruit and pushing the liquid out, which is the malacha of nefarik. That's the technical word, but it's really an aspect of dash. So therefore, just 1 second, Rav Yitzchak said, Gzeira mishum mashkin shazavu, because there's the decree of not having the liquids that seep out of fruits. Therefore, you can't eat an egg that was born on Yom Tov, because that's like a liquid that seeped out of a fruit. Yeah, question, is he?
Sir, if Sfitan is dash, you don't like that.
Right.
And we learned in steam, we had
because the Doraita is only anavim v'zeitim. Because those are the ones that they're made for the liquid.
Right.
So Amalei Abaye said, Mashkin shazavu taimamai. Abaye says to Rav Yitzchak the same question that he challenged Rav Yosef with. Mashkin shazavu taimamai. What's the reason why a liquid that seeps out of a fruit? You're not allowed to drink the liquid. It's a decree, because if I drink, let's say, the apple juice, the grape juice that came out of the grapes, I might squeeze the grapes. Okay, he grew for gzeira. We're talking about a decree. And now we're going to have a decree on a decree, and don't eat the egg that comes out of a chicken, because that might lead you to drink the grape juice that comes out of the grapes. It's a decree to a decree. It's the Gemara again. No, it's not a decree to a decree, because kula chad gzeira here. According to Rav Yitzchak, it was all one decree. When they made the decree about the liquids that seep out of the fruits, they said, included in that is also an egg that comes out of a chicken, because the egg has it has yolk, it has white, it has liquid. The egg is a liquid coming out of a fruit. I mean, it's not mamash a liquid from a fruit, but it's the same thing. So they made it one big decree. Says the Gemara, Kulu Krav Nachman Lo Amri. Now the other Rabbanim, we had first Rav Nachman, right? He said that the issue is about Mukta and Nolad. We had then Rabbos, and the issue was Hachana. Then we had the issue of Rav Yosef, who says that the issue in the Mishnah is an egg included in the decree of fruits that fall off of the tree? Now we have Rav Yitzchak, who says is an egg, the issue between Beishamah and Beisilah is whether an egg is included in liquids that come out of a fruit. The Gemara says, Kulu Krav Nachman Lo Amri, Rabba, Rav Yosef, and Rav Yitzchak. Rabbu said it's about Hachana. Rav Yosef, who said it's about fruits that fall off of trees. Rav Yitzchak, who said it's about liquids that come out of fruits. They didn't say like Rav Nachman, that the issue is about Muktzah, that our Mishnah, where Beis Shammai say you could eat the eggs, because they hold like Rav Shimon. They're lenient on Muktzah, so they lean even on Nolad. And Beis Hillel, who says you can't eat the eggs, because he holds like Rav Yehuda and Yom Tov. So he's strict on Muktzah, and he's strict on Nolad. They didn't say like Rav Nachman, Kikushan, because of the question that we had asked. He said, if the point is like Rav Nachman, the Mishnah should be mentioning the issue of Muktzah, not only talk about Nolad. The Mishnah should be talking about both the chicken and the egg. Why only talk about the egg? Rabba, Nami, Lo, Ami, the other rabbis didn't say like Rabba. Namely, Rav Nachman, Rav Yosef, and Rav Yitzchak didn't say like Rabba. Hachana Leslu, they don't hold that Beis Hillel have this biblical prohibition of don't use on Yom Tov that which was prepared for Yom Tov the day before, if the day before is Shabbos, even if God does the preparation. They don't know such a thing. There's no thing. If God prepared it, you can still use it on Yom Tov. That's okay. El Rav Yosef, but Rav Yosef, who says that the issue between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel is the argument about whether eggs are included in the decree of fruits that fall off of a tree. My time lo makriv Yitzchak. Why didn't he say like Rav Yitzchak? That the issue here is whether an egg is included in the decree of juices that seep out of a fruit. So Rav Yosef will tell you, no, I don't agree with Rav Yitzchak. because beitza uchla, an egg is food. It's not a juice. An egg is food. You eat an egg. It's not a juice. You don't drink eggs. You don't drink egg whites or egg yolks. You eat eggs. Egg is a food. Upeiros uchla, and fruits that fall off of a tree is again an issue about a food. So that could be, when the rabbi said, don't eat the fruit that falls off a tree, they might have said also, don't eat the egg that comes out of a chicken. Those are both foods coming from a source. Afuke mashkin, that would exclude juices that come out of a fruit. The lav uchla, but if a juice comes out of a fruit, that is not a food. That's a juice. So an egg is not included in the decree of juices from fruits, because an egg is about foods. It's not about a juice. Rav Yitzchak, my time along with Rav Yosef. Now Rav Yitzchak, what was his reasoning? Why didn't he say like Rav Yosef? Why did Rav Yitzchak say that the issue is about whether or not an egg is included in the prohibition of juices that seep out of fruits? Why didn't he say like Rav Yosef that the issue is whether or not an egg is included in the prohibition of fruits that fall off of trees? So Amalacha, he'll tell you like this. Beitza blua. When you talk about a fruit on a tree, what was the issue? Don't eat the fruit that fell off the tree, because that might be the guy to climb the tree and now take another fruit off. So fruits are things that people are seeing. That's the whole problem. You see this fruit on the floor, now that might lead you to see the fruit on the tree and want it. But an egg is absorbed. An egg is inside of the chicken. Mashkin blua. Liquids in a fruit. The fruit juices that come out of the grape, they are absorbed in the grape. So that's similar. Same way the rabbi said, don't eat the juice that comes out of the grape, even though it came out on its own, don't eat the egg that came out of the chicken. Both the egg coming out of the chicken is an absorbed thing coming out, and the juice coming out of the grape is an absorbed thing coming out. Lafuke peros, but you can't say it within the decree of fruits that fell on the floor, there's also the decree, don't eat an egg that came from a chicken, because that's different. Fruits and the eggs are different. Peros de migli, the fruits are revealed, the kaimun, they're open. Whereas the chicken, the egg, is not revealed. So therefore, the egg of the chicken is not included in the fruits that fall off of a tree. Okay, so we have four explanations for the argument in the Mishnah. In the Mishnah, we have an argument between the Shammai and the Sil. The Shammai are lenient. You can eat an egg that was born on Yom Tov. The Sil are strict. Either they're arguing about Muktzah, the Yud and Rabbi Shimon, or they're arguing about the Chiddush of Rabbah, of Hachana, is there a prohibition on that which was prepared on Shabbos for Yom Tov, even though God did the preparation? Or they're arguing about whether eggs are included in the rabbinic decree of fruit that falls off of trees. Or they're arguing about whether eggs are included in the rabbinic decree of juices that seep out of a fruit.
That's why not.
That's right.
So the question is, if you mind that when you dance a Shavua, 2 days of Chag, can I eat by Yom HaShani a pizza? Otherwise, why he has to give me Chag la'achar Shabbat, Achana b'yad Shamayim?
That's a nice question, but Yom Sheni is a suffix. So on the side that Yom Sheni is Chag, that means Yom Rishon is Chol, so it would be allowed. It would be Mukhan Bachol. That Rabbi Yochanan Savar, Rabbi Yochanan also held that Beis Hillel that prohibit the egg is Gzeirah Mishum Mashkin Shezavus, because they feel it's included in the decree of juices that seep out of the fruits. How do we know that? Rabbi Yochanan Rami, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yochanan once asked the contradiction. He said, Rabbi Yehuda contradicts Rabbi Yehuda, Ubnashani, and then he answered that really one of the places where Rabbi Yehuda said something, it's not Rabbi Yehuda saying something, it's the Chacham saying something. So what was the contradiction? It's not, we have a Mishnah on Shabbos. And so, and Saperos, Lotzim and Mashkin. You're not allowed to squeeze fruits to get juices out of them on Shabbos. It's dash. And if the fruit juices came out on their own, also you can't drink those juices. Rabbi Yehuda says it depends. If you collected the fruit, in order to eat the fruit, you picked the grapes to eat the grapes. So now these grapes are considered ochel. Hayotze mehen, the juice that came out of them on their own, is mutter, is permitted. Because since you're not intending for the juice, this is something you don't want. So this is permitted. Im lemashkin, but if you pick the grapes because you're planning to make wine out of them, you want to get the juice. Hayotze mehen, the juice that comes out of them is asur. So you see that according to Rabbi Yochanan, Alma kol ochlin the Rabbi Yehuda, you see that according to Rabbi Yehuda, if the grapes were picked to be eaten, then they become grapes, they become food, not juice. If they're food, then even the juice that comes out of them, ochlin defrasu, it's just food, separating from food, and it's permitted. Or many, but Rabbi Yochanan said, I timed you from another thing that Rabbi Yehuda said. Oh, the Rabbi Yehuda used to say the following. There's a whole argument in Masechet Erevin about Rosh Hashanah. Are the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah normal 2 days of Yom Tov? Normal 2 days of Yom Tov means that we're really not sure. Maybe the first day is Yom Tov and the second day is Chol. Maybe the second day is Yom Tov and the first day is Chol. Maybe the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah are different. Since the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah are expected, you have to have 2 days because once it becomes Rosh Hashanah, nobody can find out about it because it's Yom Tov. They can't inform anybody. It's not like Rosh Chodesh. We can start telling people. You can't tell anybody. The 2 days of Rosh Hashanah is every year you're going to have 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. We're not going to know when the witnesses come because they can't inform us. We're going to have 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. Maybe the rabbis initiated the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah as what's called Yom Arichta, one long day, one 48-hour day. It's one Kedusha going straight for the full 48 hours. Yom Arichta. So Rabbi Yehuda, he held that the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah are not Yom Arichta. Rabbi Yehuda, who says that it's not Yom Arichta, he said, Masna Adam. Masna Adam, I'll call Kalash or Peros. A person can take a basket of figs that the Chumos and Maisos weren't taken from them, it's Tevel, and he can make a condition. You know, you're not allowed to separate Chumos and Maisos on Yom Tov. So he can say like this. Yom Tov Rishon, on Yom Tov Rishon he's going to separate Trumas and Maisos, the first day of Rosh Hashanah, and he'll say, if today is Yom Tov, this is not Trumas and Maisos, I'm just moving things around. If today is Chol, this is Truma for everything else. And then on the second day, he can eat everything else. Because if yesterday was Yom Tov, then on the second day, it's going to become Trumas and Maisos, and now you can eat everything else. And if yesterday was in fact Chol, then you can make chumas and maisos on it. Now today, on Yom Tov, you can eat it. So va'ochla b'sheni, you can eat it on the second day. And Rabbi Yehuda goes further there in Erev, and he says, v'chein beitz shenolda barishon, an egg born on the first day of Yom Tov of Rosh Hashanah, tayachol b'sheni, can be eaten on the second day because of this svara b'manavshah. If the first day was Yom Tov, the second day is chol, so you can eat it on the second day. If the first day was chol, so it's born on a chol, so now you can eat it on the second day. So b'sheni in. Rabbi Yehuda says you can eat an egg born on the second day of Yom Tov, if it was born on the first day. But Rishon Lo, he's not allowing you to eat on the first day. Why is he not allowing you to eat on the first day? Because he's passing like Beis Hillel, but an egg born on Yom Tov, if it's Yom Tov, you can't eat it. So now, 1 second, why would he hold that an egg born on Yom Tov is a problem? He himself says that juices that come out of fruit that's for eating are permitted, because it's food separating from food. So an egg born on Yom Tov should also be food separating from food. It should be permitted. So Mishani, so Rabbi Yochanan answered, Mukhlefes Hashita. We have to switch who said what. Rabbi Yehuda actually holds that the juices that come out of fruits that were taken for eating are prohibited. That was the view of the Chacham world, that the juices that come from the fruits selected for eating are permitted because they hold food separate from food is permitted. Now, if Rabbi Yochanan compares the psak of Rabbi Yehuda about an egg born on Yom Tov to the psak of Rabbi Yehuda about juices coming out of fruits, you see, it's all the same reasoning. But the reason why an egg born on Yom Tov, according to Beis Hillel, is no good, you can't eat it, is because it's like a juice coming out of a fruit. So you see that Rabbi Yochanan also holds like this view of Rabbi Yitzchak. The issue is Mashkin Shezav. Now turning to Gimel and Beis, Ravina Amar. Ravina said, you don't have to switch what Rabbi Yehuda holds. Olam lo tepach. You don't have to switch what Rabbi Yehuda holds. And it could very well be that Rabbi Yehuda holds food, grapes that were put aside for eating, the juices that come out of them are permitted. if that's the case, because once something is a food, food that separates from food is allowed. So once you have an egg from a chicken that you're planning to eat, it should also be allowed. An egg born on Yom Tov should be allowed because it's food separating from food. That's true. So what's going on is like this. Rabbi Yehuda in Erevin, who said that an egg born on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, you can eat it on the second day of Rosh Hashanah. The Divreyem, the Rabbanon Kamalu, he's saying, according to the view of the Rabbanon, according to me, I feel a brisha nami sharia, I would allow an egg born on the first day. So it's food separating from food. But according to you, who disagreed with me, you held that even the grape separated off as to be food, the juices that come out of them on their own are prohibited. So you're saying that an egg coming from a chicken is prohibited. It's not permitted as a food coming from a food. But according to you, yes, you should agree to me at least. The Bishani, then on the second day of Rosh Hashanah, Shari, you're allowed to eat the egg. Shtei Kedusha saying, because there are two different holinesses. So the egg born on the first day should be printed on the second day. The Rabbanan said, Shabbat, we don't agree to you. Lo Kedusha Achas. We feel that the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah are one long Kedusha. And even when Beis Din was establishing the Rosh Chodesh based on testimony, it would be one long Kedusha of 2 days. And since it's one long Kedusha, an egg born on the first day is prohibited on the second day. Ravina Breid Rav Hula Am Ravina gave, Ravina the son of Rav Hula gave a third answer for Rabbi Yehuda, right? How do we resolve the contradiction of Rabbi Yehuda? And A. Ravini says that on the second day of Rosh Hashanah, an egg born would be permitted. Egg born on the first day is permitted. That sounds like he holds, like Beis Hillel, that eggs that are born on Yom Tov are prohibited. But meanwhile, he himself said that a juice that comes out of grapes collected for eating is permitted. So Rav Yehuda, the son of Rav Hula, said the following answer. Hach over here, b'tarnagolas ha'omedes l'gadol beitzim. Talking about a chicken which is mukta. It's not a chicken that you're going to eat. It's a chicken that you put aside to create eggs. Since the chicken is mukta, it's not uchlo de mifras, it's not food separating from food. We're talking about something coming from a mukta item. Maybe do the tamei disle mukta. So Yehuda being consistent that he holds of mukta, being strict about mukta. It's not about the issue of mashkin shezavu. So this is mukta. Okay. Going back to the argument between Rav Yosef and Rav Yitzchak. Rav Yosef and Rav Yitzchak argued, what is the reason why Beis Hillel prohibited an egg born on Yom Tov? According to one opinion, the view of Rav Yosef, it's because an egg born on Yom Tov was included in the decree of fruits that fall off of trees on Yom Tov. According to Rav Yitzchak, an egg born on Yom Tov is included in the decree of juices that seep out of fruits on Yom Tov. So now, says the Gemara, basically, I'll challenge you. How can you say that Beis Hillel hold that an egg is prohibited because it's included in a rabbinic decree? It seems like an egg is a biblical problem. How do we know that? An egg born on Yom Tov is a biblical problem. Let the following brisa. Brisa says, Echad Beitza Shnolda B'Shabbos. Whether an egg was born on Shabbos, Echad Beitza Shnolda B'Yom Tov. Whether the egg was born on Yom Tov, Ein Metaltin Osi. Now that I move it around, you can't carry it because it's Mukta. Even if you want to use it to cover a utensil, you can't move it for that. You can't use it to support the legs of a bed. But you can put on top of the egg a utensil, so that the egg not break. Now let's say you have an egg, that there's a safek whether this egg was born on Yom Tov or during the week. An egg where there is a suffix if it was born on Yom Tov, Asura, can't eat the egg. So the Gemara is going to ask, if you're going to tell me that the issue of an egg on Yom Tov is because we're talking about Yom Tov after Shabbos, there's a biblical pasuk, Ve'echino Sashur Yaviyu, I can understand. There's a problem. You know, don't, if there's a suffix, Do Raisa L'Chumah, we're not sure about a biblical law, we have to be strict. But if the whole issue of an egg is that it's included in the the rabbinic decree of fruits that fall off of a tree, or it's included in the rabbinic decree of liquids that come out of fruits. So if you're not sure whether or not this was born on Yom Tov, it's a Safek Darban. It should be Safek Darban on the Kula. So that's the Gemara's going to ask that question. And the Gemara continues. Yom Arva. Let's say the egg born on Yom Tov got mixed up, the Elef, with 1,000 other eggs that were born during the week. Kula Nasuros, they're all prohibited. We don't say Bitul Barov. We don't say it's annulled in the majority. That's the Bryce. So now says the Gemara, Bishmal Rabu the Amar Mishamachana. According to Rabu, says that an egg born on Yom Tov, according to Bishmal, you can't eat the egg. Because there was a hachana from Shabbos for Yom Tov, and it's not the pasuk of Bayom Hashishi Veichin Resh Hashayaviyu. On the sixth day, you should be preparing. So now, if you're not sure if it was born on Yom Tov, Havi Sveikah D'Oraisa. So that means you're not sure about a biblical law. Chol Sveikah D'Oraisa. Whenever we're not sure about a biblical prohibition, we should be strict. El Rav Yosef Rav Yitzchak Dan Mishum Gzeira. But according to Rav Yosef and Rav Yitzchak, who say that according to Beis Hillel, the egg born on Yom Tov can't be eaten because it's a decree. It's included in Mashkin Shazavu. It's included in Perish and Ashru, fruits that fall or juices that come out. Sveikud Rabbanani. So now, if there's a suffix, if it was born, it's a suffix on a Rabbanan. When we have a suffix about a Rabbanan, we should be lenient. Says the Gemara, say for that line about us. A suffix about an egg is a son, the suffix treif. It's not a suffix about the egg, whether it was born on Shabbos or born on Yom Tov or born during the week. It's a suffix where the egg came from. Did it come from a chicken that's a treifa? It's a not kosher egg, or did it come from a chicken that's kosher? Yuck, if that's the case, Ema Seif, read the next line. The Sarva Be'elef, if the egg that we're talking about in this brisa gets mixed up with another 1,000 eggs that don't have its condition. Kula and Asuras, they're all Asur. Yeah, Bishlamas, Safek, Yom Tov, if we're talking about the case. We're not sure if this egg was born on Yom Tov or not. I understand this law then. Safek, Yom Tov, Safek, Chol. I understand why if it gets mixed up in 1,000, they're all prohibited. Even though we have a rule generally, a Bitul Barov, if you have a majority permitted, it annuls the prohibited minority. That's only true if that's the only way to solve the problem. But if, just by waiting, it'll all become permitted. And we don't use bitul. That's called davar sheyesh lo matir, something which has something permitting it some other way. Then it's not bitul, even in 1,000. So, if it's a davar sheyesh lo matir, something which has something permitting it, we'll call davar sheyesh lo matir, anything which has something permitting it, I feel be'ela flo bitul, even in 1,000, doesn't lose its identity. But if you're going to tell me, we're talking about a suffix treifa, we don't know where this was born from. It may have been born from a chicken that's a treifa. So now, that's a prohibited item. Prohibited. Maybe it's prohibited. Maybe it's a treifa. Maybe not. Why do we say if it got mixed in 1,000, it's all 1,000 are prohibited? It should be bitul barov. It's a normal law that the majority annuls. The majority should have known. You're going to tell me, beitza chashuv lo batla. An egg, that's a prominent thing. Prominent things don't lose their identity. What makes it prominent? It's an egg. So you say it's prominent because it's a davar shebeminyan. It's something that's sold by number, not sold by omed, not sold by estimate. Ani chalamad omed, that's fine according to the view that says, kol shadarkali mano shamim. Now when we say anything, we'll see soon, anything which it's normal for it to be counted, and it's sold, and be sold by count, and not sold by an estimate, as prominence. Elman, I would according to the version we read, as we'll see soon. Eshedar kolimano shaninu, those things that, not that it is normal for them to be counted, they are exclusively sold by count. Now, Ma'ikolamema, now what are you going to say? Because eggs are not exclusively sold by count. So what makes the egg so prominent? It's not something which is exclusively sold by count. Sometimes people say, yeah, take a whole bunch of eggs. Give me $5 for a bunch of eggs. So then an egg doesn't have this prominence. It says in the Mishnah, Yishayilu chavile tilton shokilu yakerem. Someone who has packages of leeks that had grown in a vineyard. So we know that if a vegetable grows in a vineyard amongst the grapevines, it becomes prohibited. So yidolku, they have to be burned. It's asur ba'anah. And took the shamaleya, the pasuk says. It's kilaya kerem, it's kilayim. Nisarvu ba'acheros. Let's say these packages of prohibited leeks got mixed up with packages of permitted leeks. Ba'acheros ba'acheros. And those others got mixed in with others. They all have to be burned. Divrei Rabbi Meir, because it's all isurei anah, things you can't get benefit from. The chacham say no. Ya'alu be'echad u'masayim. If you have 200 permitted packages versus only one prohibited package, you take one out, you burn that one, and the other 200 are permitted because kilaya karem orla. They get annulled by a majority of 200 to 1. Now, why did Rabbi Meir hold that even if it's 200 to 1, it's prohibited? Shai, Rabbi Meir, Omer, because Rabbi Meir used to say, Eshedar Kulimanos, those items that are only sold by number, they're not sold by estimate. So then, they're prominent. Since they're prominent, Mekadesh, they create a prohibition in the mixture, even if there's 200 against them. Chachamim omrim, chachamim say no. The fact that it's sold by number is not enough to make it prominent and therefore not to lose its identity. Eino makadish, the only things that wouldn't lose their identity in a mixture are the following six prominent things. L'sheish dvarim milvad. Yakiv omer shiva, seven things. Eluhin, these are the prominent things. Egoze perech, the walnuts of perech, is apparently very fancy walnuts. Rimone badan, the pomegranates of badan. Chavios stumos, sealed barrels of wine. So the wine is very strong and very prominent. Chilfei tradim, leaves from the beets. What do they say? Spinach. Leaves of the spinach. Apparently they're very very prominent, very special, very expensive. And therefore they don't lose their identity in a mixture. Chilfei tradim. Kilchei kruv, the stalks of cabbage. Apparently, the Israeli cabbage is excellent. And the last, Yavanis, and the Greek gourd, the Greek pumpkins, butternut squash. Rabbi Akiva, most of Kifrio Shal Balabais, big loaves of a homeowner. They are big, they're not the loaves of a baker, they're prominent. Now, Haroi La Orla, these things that were listed that could be Orla, we're referring to Orla. Those things that might be the vegetables growing in a vineyard, like the cabbage and the spinach and the gourd, it's klaya kerem. Now, v'yitmar Allah, now on this we learned, Rabbi Yochanan said that what Rabbi Meir meant was, es shadar kolimanos, those things that are exclusively counted, sold by count, are the ones that aren't batel, shaninu. Rish Lakish said, "Kol shadar kliyman hashemini." Things that could be sold by count are things that don't lose their identity. So now, Anichlib Shimon Lakish, according to Rish Lakish, where things that could be sold by count don't lose their identity, you understand why an egg wouldn't lose its identity, because an egg is also sometimes sold by count. El Reb Yochanan, but according to Reb Yochanan, Ma'ikla Meimar, what are you going to say? Okay, Bezrat Hashem, we'll get to the answer tomorrow.